So good morning again. It is really nice to be back together, and I feel like I have a thousand things I want to share with you and a thousand things I want to ask all of you. I want to tell you that today is what we used to call a multi-gen service, but going forward we'll call an all-congregation service. And if you need to wiggle, there are things to do in the narthex, whatever age you are. So you won't have to leave the building. We can still be together, and you can still wiggle or lay on the floor if that is how you listen best. This morning, we'll all be here. I want to tell you how grateful I am to have Oifi joining us as our new religious educator and to have Jolie with us this year as our affiliate minister. I want to tell you how glad I am that Michael and Yukiko are still with us and that Laura and the choir are still here. I think we have some anniversary years coming up this year to celebrate a little further down the road. And I want to welcome Henry, the drummer who's joined us today. We'll be seeing Henry with us a little more often. And I want to remind you that a worship service is about everybody here. It's what we might call a collective experience. It means you and you and you and you and all the yous are a part of all that this service is as we search for moments that touch us and that make us laugh or make us cry or that make us go, aha, I didn't know that before. It is a crazy world outside these doors. So let's be especially glad and grateful to be gathered today. And I want to know from each of you, how was your summer? Would that we had hours to share together. And what is it you're carrying with you in your heart as you move into this new season? What is it you're taking to work or to school or to whatever activities fill your days? How is it with your spirit today? And I want to offer each of you, as I want you to offer to each other in this amazing space, just a moment of peace. Let us breathe that peace in together. We are gathered in this amazing sanctuary, but we are also the sanctuary for each other. Michael's going to help us this morning, leading us in the song about sanctuary that many of you have heard. Make us aware we are a sanctuary, each made holy and loved right through. With thanksgiving, we are a living sanctuary anew. If it is familiar to you, feel free to join him.
Make us aware we are a sanctuary, each made holy and loved right through. With thanksgiving, we are a living sanctuary anew. Make us aware we are a sanctuary, each made holy and loved right through. With thanksgiving, we are a living sanctuary anew. Make us aware we are a sanctuary, each made holy and loved right through. Thanksgiving, we are a living sanctuary anew.
Here within these walls is the time and the place to know what we feel, to think about what we're afraid of, This is the time and the place to remember what we need and what we need to ask for. Jolie read for us earlier a poem. It's here that we are invited to open the eyes that have forgotten how to see from viewing things already too well known. And we look not just at what's around us, but what's inside us to find a new way of seeing, a new way of being, a new vision, perhaps. More open, more honest, more generous, more kind. Sometimes I think work like that could take more than an hour. I saw a terrific post a couple weeks ago by our friend Mariama White Hammond, who serves the Bethel AME Church in Jamaica Plain. It was a Facebook post. Many of you know Mariama is a person of color. She's a black woman, and she was watching Aretha Franklin's memorial service, funeral service. It was an 8.5-hour service. Mariama said in her post that it was the fullness of the black church tradition on display. She said the hats were amazing and wild, and the song started with long descriptions called sermonettes, that two-minute speeches became eight-minute speeches, and that the gospel music was amazing. She also said that after 4.5 hours, every time they showed white folks on the screen, they seemed to be checking their watches. And wondering why the actual order of service didn't match what was in the printed order of service. Does that feel familiar to anyone? Do you sometimes feel impatient at church? Or maybe today, if you found yourself looking at your order of service, it's because they are such a beautiful shade of lime green. We are trying some different things this year, my friends. If you are new or visiting, be sure that you look on the back of the order of service and share some information with us about yourselves. So today we have been sharing our waters with each other, coming back together, and talking at this point about holy disruptions. What are those, anyway, and why are we talking about them? To my mind, a holy disruption is when something happens that makes you stop and try to figure something out. Like Higgins, for example, who looked around him and saw the world caving in on itself, the grass drying up, the flowers falling down, the trees wilting. He notices this, and he knows it's not right. And from somewhere, he gets an idea, a dream, that he could make it better. That is a holy disruption. And we're talking about them because they happen to us all the time. And we need to remember they're really important to pay attention to, even when they're tiny, small disruptions, like my $2.75. Holy disruptions are things that make us wake up. Sleepyhead, something is wrong here. Something needs your attention. Wake up. There are just two things I hope we leave here thinking about today. One is the need to listen, and the second is the need to respond. I wonder if any of you saw the movie A Knight's Tale. It's an older film. Anybody? A very few, well, I recommend it to all of you. It's this odd combination of a story about a knight and his knight fellow people, but it's set to rock and roll music, right? And it's fun, and it's quirky. And at one point during the movie, the three or four main characters, see somebody walking down the road who later identifies himself as Chaucer, right, the bard. But he's walking down the road absolutely naked, no shoes, no clothes, but just walking. And he refers to it as trudging. And they say, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trudging." And they said, "Why are you trudging?" And he said, "What else should I do? I have nothing. I have nowhere that I know of I should be, so I'm trudging." And in my mind, sometimes I think we all are trudging. even with our clothes on, and especially perhaps. We all get stuck in this walking to somewhere, doing our routine, whatever it is, getting up, brushing our teeth, having our breakfast, going to school or to work or to our daily activity, coming home, eating dinner, going to bed, trudging. And then something happens. Hopefully something happens. We feel something. We notice something. We hear something. I was listening the other day to a podcast about prayer. The person was saying that when we pray, we're often talking so much, even in our own heads, that we forget to listen. And somebody said they were praying like that one day and heard a voice that said, shh. Actually, they said shut up, but I don't like that word, so shh. Stop talking so you can hear how much I love you. We all need to hear that, don't we? But we get trudging, and we forget to listen. So first, stop trudging, start listening. There is likely a kind of voice. Maybe it is more for you, the experience of a message in your heart and soul that needs to be heard. Water the grass, water the flowers, water the trees, it says, however you can. Don't take that money, it says. It's not really yours. I was thinking, if I were more of a venture capitalist or something, I could have taken the $275 and turned it into millions of dollars and fed the poor, but I don't think that way exactly. And after that happened, I was walking back to my cabin with my dried clothes, and I told one of my nieces about this story, and she said, wow, Aunt Ann, you are way overthinking that. Not so much, I think. The small things need our attention. It's like scraping your knee or getting a paper cut. They help us practice how to take care of ourselves so that we'll know what to do with the bigger things when they come along, like climate change or paying for college. The little problems are small reminders about our big values, because the second thing is that when you hear that voice or feel that something is not quite right, remember, we have to do something. That's what makes it a holy disruption. It's not just that you notice it. It's that you change what you were doing in order to take care of what startled you. I wondered, as I was putting my thoughts together, where Higgins got his dream exactly. I wonder if you were curious about that. Where do our dreams come from? Where do our ideas come from? Are they only from ourselves? Sometimes I think they are what we might call God moments. And I know that may sound challenging to many of us. Those moments when things come together and offer us a challenge or a puzzle, and they're not always the things we want to be challenged by, but they move us to a new place, and we're not making them up ourselves. So I sometimes call them God moments because I have a hard time coming up with other words. If that works for you, I'm happy to share it. But I know many of you also have your own words for those times. Rumi is a poet that is very familiar and comfortable for Unitarian Universalists. He offers the poem, The Guest House. Like the river that is always taking in new things, we are always taking in new things. This being human is a guest house, he says, every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Higgins' guest was a dream of making the world more green again. He welcomed the dream like a guest to his home and made it change him. When have you been inspired like that? Does it feel like a God moment to you, or as a chance to welcome a guest? The other day, it may have been the same day I was hearing the prayer thing. When I'm on a long drive, I go through a lot of chatter. I learned that Cory Booker, who is a senator from New Jersey, is a vegan. Is that news to any of you? That inspired me. It disrupted me. I don't imagine our governing folks in Washington, D.C. as vegans. Maybe I should. But for me, it was a holy disruption because it has inspired me to consider that choice for myself again, knowing as I do how our consumption impacts the world at large. Disruptions are everywhere. We just have to be listening and be ready to act. Make us aware we are a sanctuary, each made holy and loved right through with thanksgiving. We are a living sanctuary anew, every day anew. So in this new year, friends, let us live into that newness. Let us grow in our ability to pay attention to the holy disruptions around us, even the smallest ones. Let us be better and better at being people who have a vision that invites the unknown, every guest. Let's keep building a community that is creative and imaginative and brave together. There is so much that needs our attention. Tonight, our Jewish friends will be celebrating Rosh Hashanah. Maybe some of you will be observing that holiday as well, the new year. A very wise man named Abraham Heschel said, "It is a time when we are asked to remember that each one of us participates in creation every single day when we make a choice about how we want to live in the world." Let us be people who take on the holy disruptions, who live in service to them, every single one, with gusto. Listen for the God moment or the guest, the inspiration, and be ready to act on its behalf. And the world will be better for it. We saw it this morning. The soil turned green, the flowers grew, the trees stood taller. Listen, I will stop talking so you can hear how you are loved. Amen, friends.